get the pleasure.
Don't cry.
To announce my daughter. She's going to share the message this morning, and I'm so very proud of her. So if you will join with me in covering her in prayer. Dear Jesus, I just thank you for this young lady. I thank you for her willingness to respond to your call as a teenager to proclaim your words. God, we ask that you give her courage and strength, fortitude, that you give her your covering for the next 2 hours of preaching. In Jesus' name, amen.
It is not going to be that long. He's a liar. Plan to meet you at 11 o'clock. We're getting in and out of here quick. How's everybody doing this week? Good? Oh, I'm so glad. It's good to hear. Okay. Well, my first note was an opening prayer, but somebody took that away from me. So, I don't know how your guys' week has been. My week, it was a little bit interesting. I got my driver's license. Lots of fun stuff happened. Took a couple of tests. It was great. The other thing that happened was our water heater didn't quite break. More so, it's just not working, if that makes sense. So we're thinking about renaming it to a water cooler because all the showers are a little bit cold. That's related to the message today. In 2007, there was this study. They called a number of people on the phone. They said, hi, would you answer some questions about what your thoughts on like Christianity today are, like how old are you, that kind of stuff, lots of fun stuff. And generally, they had a lot of takeaways. I think it may have been the same study that Mark looked at last week, because they did mention judgmental and hypocritical being the two terms that they heard a lot. But one of the things that one of the callers said, unprompted, was they said, Christianity in today's society no longer looks like Jesus. And I'm not saying that to say, oh, we're the worst, we're terrible. I'm not saying that to bring the mood down. It more so speaks to the way that Christianity is being observed by non-Christians and how we're being viewed in general in society. Now, we could just, you know, rename our church, rename it to a water cooler, but that doesn't actually fix the problem. If we want to fix the water cooler, we have to fix the water heater, sorry. If we want to fix the water heater, we have to fix the water heater. We can't just change its name. We're going to be in Genesis 33:22-32 today, if you want to jump there, and I can repeat that if anybody wants to get there. Is everybody there? Yay! Okay, it's okay, I'll read it for you. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jacob. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask me my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. That's a fun verse, or set of verses. I don't know how much you guys know about wrestling. I personally haven't wrestled, but all three of my brothers did, which good for them, and maybe Betty if we can convince her. But wrestling is really, really hard, you know. It's 6 minutes long each match in like 2 minute rounds because it is so hard. You know, you're on the ground trying to pin the other person onto the floor. It's really, really hard. Now, I just want to imagine, instead of it being 6 minutes long and a really intense sport, let's imagine doing that all night long. That sounds really, really hard. And I'm not going to spend too long in this passage because there's lots of passages we're looking at today. But the main takeaway I want you to have here is if we want something to happen, we have to work for it. And the work is going to be hard, but we have to work for it. As you might know, the church were the hands and feet of Christ, representatives, if you will. And if we want to change how the church is understood, if we want to look like Jesus, be like Jesus, and become like Jesus, we have to put in the work. Back to the water heater, changing the name to water cooler doesn't actually fix the problem, but fixing the problem fixes the problem. Fixing my water heater. And the way that I think we go about doing that is we go back to the basics, those basics being the Bible. Yay! We're going to Matthew 22:36-40. It's going to be really fun. Who's excited? Yay! I'll read it for you. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. More fun scripture. Loving God is really important. And I'm not going to go around saying, don't do that. I'm saying, do that, do that. But loving our neighbors is how society and non-Christians in general see that happen when we love our neighbors. And I think the way that we go about loving our neighbors is going back to the Bible. So in John 13:34-35, I'll read it to you because I know you wanted to hear me. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone that will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I think Jesus really puts it best. If we want for the world to see how we love one another, if we want them to see how we're doing Christianity, if we want them to see that we are looking like Jesus because we are acting like Jesus, we have to love one another. And I'm not going to say that there's one way to do it, because there's so many ways to love one another. And I feel like just by giving examples, I'm narrowing down the approach. So I'll just say, if we want to change the way the church is, we have to love one another. And, you know, something's wrong if people back in 2007, because I imagine that those opinions have only gotten worse, unfortunately. If we want to change that, we have to love one another. And it doesn't have to be something big, you know. You don't have to build a castle for people, you know. You don't have to take somebody into your home. You don't have to say to your mother-in-law, your God's going to be my God, your people's going to be my people. You don't have to do that. You just have to start small, start today, you know. Even if it's bad, even if it's not good at first, let's do it all together. Let's start. Yeah, that's it. I said it was going to be quick. Okay. Okay, now I need to pray for you guys. If you guys would join me in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for bringing us all here safely. I'd ask that you'd send us out of this place safely, and we would ask that you would help us to follow your word, help us to love one another, help us to love small, help us to love one another even if it's bad, help us to love one another. In your name we pray. Amen. Yeah.